Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a special guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is property management is easy. Time management is hard. I have joining me by phone a renowned speaker, author, and sought-after time management coach, Anna Dierman-Cornick. Anna, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
So, you know a little bit about the apartment industry. We talked a little bit about, before the show, some of the issues that people are facing in the industry due to turnover and shortages, openings in different roles at the property and even in the corporate level. Tell us why some people just try to do time management without a lot of guidance or knowledge, why does that fail?
Oh, goodness. So first of all, there are so many different reasons why our attempts at time management fail. And a lot of times whenever we try different things and they don't work for us, we end up falling into a little bit of a shame spiral. We start to think, oh, I'm never going to get the hang of this. Something is wrong with me. Time management isn't working for me. And so we just kind of go back to the same frantic nature of, you know, the way that we've been trying to manage everything without success. And so I find that so often our struggles with time management begin because we're trying to fix our time management problems in the wrong place. Mm. Instead of getting to the heart of what's really wrong, instead of getting root to the root of the issue, a lot of times people just want to rearrange the things that are on their calendar. And they think, okay, I have a time management problem. I need to figure this out. Let me open up my calendar or let me pull up my to-do list and see what I can rearrange to make it all work. And while that might help in the short term, it might give you a little bit of relief for a day or two. Until you get to the heart of what matters most to you as a person, what matters most in your role that helps you create success in your role, until you really outline that, you can't even begin to effectively move things around on your calendar.
What do you think some of the specific time zappers are that people in the multifamily industry come across that just causes them to whatever they try, to just kind of flush it away down the toilet?
So two time zappers that come to mind. One is distraction. And distraction can come in all shapes, sizes, and forms. I think recent studies have said that the American knowledge worker, so anyone who works behind a computer, sits at a desk, is hit with some type of digital interruption every 43 seconds. Mm. Every 43 seconds. And that doesn't even count a knock on the door, someone walking into your office. That doesn't count your own personal interruptions that come from the inside of your head. You know, we can create an environment that is completely clear, made for focus. We can, you know, dial in our, distraction-free zone. And still, one of our biggest distractors is remembering that we need to buy a birthday gift next week or that mm-hmm. we're out of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. So we then head off down a rabbit hole doing whatever just comes to mind in the moment. The distractions are a huge time zapper. And then the second is context switching. So a lot of times when we think of multitasking, we imagine ourselves, you know, I'm handling a lot of different things at once. I'm handling a lot of different projects at once. But what we're actually doing is something called context switching. And that is quickly switching from one task to the next. And every single time we switch from one task to the next, we lose a huge percentage of our available productivity. And it's due to this phenomenon called attention residue. And I know that sounds kind of icky, but it happens to all of us. Whenever we quickly switch from writing an email to processing a form or working on a report, part of our brains are still focused on our original task. So we're not able to completely dial into whatever we've just switched over to. When you add up all of these switches during the course of a day, combine that with distractions coming at us every 43 seconds, it's really a wonder that we're able to get anything done.
Yeah, and I can tell you that, when thinking about what an average day would be for a, let's say, an on-site property manager at a multifamily property, I mean, the office opens up and, they've got certain deadlines they've got to meet to get reports out and obviously collecting rents and so forth. But then it's just one distraction after another. A resident comes in with an issue or a contractor shows up at the property that needs to have some discussion and so forth. I mean, that sounds like a recipe for time management disaster.
Definitely. You've got your desk work and you've got your people work. And you have to find a way to manage both and stay on top of both. You know, I have a very simple, I hate to call them tips and tricks, but I have a very simple tip that anyone can implement today if they are balancing desk work and people work. And it's using a post-it note or a notepad to create, I like to call it the when I sit back down bookmark. When I sit back down, because so often whenever we're in the middle of our desk work and we get interrupted by people work, we just stand up and we immediately shift gears to handling whatever the request is that's in front of us in the form of a person or meeting with, someone doing maintenance or repairs or just whatever it is. And then whenever we return to our desk after managing the people work, it takes us 30 minutes to figure out, wait, what was I doing? Where did I just leave off? And so we end up having little piles of unfinished projects. And we end up wasting time trying to remember, where was I? And so next time you're in the middle of desk work and you have a people interruption, before you get up and walk away, use a notepad, use a post-it note, and write down, when I sit back down, paragraph 2, line 3. Mm. Or when I sit back down, finish processing the Jones application, whatever it is. So that as soon as you get back to your desk, you're not wasting 30 minutes trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing, which inevitably leads to checking your email and heading off on that rabbit hole, picking up your phone and checking social media. Just create a book for yourself.
That is a great tip. And it literally is a bookmark. I mean, you're finding out where you left off. And so many times people don't do that. So getting in that habit, how do you suggest people try to get into that habit? Because that's the toughest thing is making it a habit.
It's always helpful whenever you are creating a new habit of any kind to decide in advance what your trigger will be for that habit. You know, habits themselves have three different distinct parts: the trigger, the routine, and the reward. The trigger is the thing that kicks off the habit. It's that spark that kicks off the habit. The routine is the habit itself, whether it's writing the when I sit back down note or brushing our teeth in the morning. That's the routine. And then the reward is the way that we feel afterward. Now, sometimes rewards are external, sometimes they're internal, and it's those intrinsic rewards that really are the best that help us ingrain these habits. And so if you're trying to create any type of habit or a when I sit back down bookmark habit, have your post-it pad on your desk next to your computer. And you can even start your morning by writing when I sit back down at the top of that post-it. And so that it's in your line of sight whenever you have that, whenever that interruption does come in. So you'll be more likely to see it, kick off that habit, follow through with the routine. And then afterward, you'll feel that reward when you sit back down at your desk and you know exactly where you left off.
Yeah, and it really doesn't have to be an interruption, an unscheduled interruption. It could be if you have a Zoom call that you have to get on, or if you have an appointment or have to go to the corporate office, or you're going to take lunch. That would
exactly be
a good way to do that. All right, great. That's fantastic. Well, look, we're going to end it here for this segment. We're going to be back, and when we get back, I want to talk to you a little bit about planning without purpose is pointless. So we'll talk about that and how the impact of planning can make your day go a little bit smoother. So we'll be back after this break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
You are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is property management is easy, time management is hard. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a renowned speaker, author, sought-after time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick. I do want to take a moment and remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Anna, before we took a break, I kind of teased out something that I robbed off of your website, which is planning without purpose is pointless. But I think it's pretty important for our listeners to know what that means and what the impact can be for planning. Can you go into that a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, planning without purpose is pointless. Really starts with purpose. It's all about planning, but it really starts with the purpose. You know, if we are planning our days, if we are planning our weeks, but we are not bringing intention, purpose, a greater vision, whether it's for ourselves or the vision of the company that we work for, our values, whether it's our personal core values or the values of the company that we work for, we're kind of just throwing stuff on a calendar. We're kind of just throwing, you know, the proverbial spaghetti at a wall and hoping that the way that we've chosen to spend our time makes sense. And that's the way that most people plan their days and spend their time, is that they put out one fire after the other. They tackle whatever feels most urgent in the moment. And at the end of the day, they're frustrated because while the entire day felt very busy, when they look back, they didn't really accomplish what they had set out to. And so the alternative to throwing spaghetti at the calendar is to plan with purpose. And that starts by having a solid understanding of what your vision for the future looks like. You can go broad and think about your life's vision. What do you want your life to look like? But if that feels too big, what do you want your life to look like in the next year? And how can you make decisions this week that will make that vision that you have for yourself in a year a reality? That's what planning with purpose really looks like. It's making decisions about how to spend your time that build to something bigger, giving you that life that you actually want for yourself. The best way to engage in planning with purpose is through a weekly planning session. And a weekly planning session is a 30-minute sit down. You could call it a meeting with yourself to get a bird's eye view of your week ahead, both personally and professionally, to identify any potential obstacles that might exist in our weeks. You know, if there's one thing we've learned in the past few years, it's that there will always be curveballs. And so if you can identify in advance, you know, what are the tough spots in your week? When do you have back-to-back meetings? When do you have a lot of kids' activities stacked one evening? And then how can you come up with solutions in advance? How can you plan for those tough spots so that you're able to use that decision-making power that you have earlier in the week before the fatigue of the week, you know, really begins to set in? Because there's nothing worse than having to make big decisions when you're exhausted on, you know, Thursday afternoon. And so taking time to plan your week, make decisions in advance, is the key to stepping into each week feeling calm and prepared.
I think that's so important. And I can tell you that I don't know how I get on lists of different companies, but when it comes, yeah, maybe November or end of October, November, I start getting pop-up ads and things like that for new planners and different devices that you can use to be more organized. And, you know, I think the trap that a lot of people fall into is, you know, they kind of see the new year, January 1st, is a reset, and here's my chance to get everything set up and organized. And as we talked about in the first segment, you know, they'll try something for a period of time, and then it doesn't become a habit, and they abandon it after a month or so, and they're back to just, you know, handling, putting out fires as they would. How does planning and what do you recommend people do when it comes to planning as far as thinking, you know, big picture, long term, where they can have something that they can continue to maintain and keep?
Sure. And I'll tell you, if you are someone who has fallen into the trap of buying one planner and then another planner because the first planner didn't work, so surely this planner is the one that's going to solve all of your problems and work, but then it didn't. So then you got an app, and then that app didn't work. You are not alone. It happens to everyone. What it really comes down to is, again, having that clear vision and creating a system for yourself. You know, habits and systems are like cousins. They're two peas in a pod. They work together so that we're able to put ourselves on autopilot, a good kind of autopilot, so that we can, again, preserve that precious decision-making power for more important decisions. And so there are a few different things that you can do to keep your big vision, your priorities for the future, top of mind. One really simple way is by choosing a word of the year. You know, Paul, you said that at the end of the year, you start getting emails about planners and apps and really getting into that fresh start feeling of the new year. And while the new year or Monday or the first day of a month or your birthday, all of those are great opportunities for fresh starts, you know, any day is a great day to start. But one exercise that I especially love at the beginning of each year is to choose a word of the year that encompasses my vision for the year. And I have my time management coach and clients. I encourage them to do this as well, because it can be so easy to lose sight of, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees. And once we really get into the thick of the year, it's easy to lose sight of that big, exciting vision that we had at the beginning of the year. So sometimes choosing something as simple as a single word something like growth or adventure, whatever it is that helps you keep that vision top of mind day to day. So that's one way that you can keep that overarching vision in mind. A lot of people recommend creating vision boards, and I am definitely someone who thought that the concept of vision boards was hokey and silly until I made one for myself. And within a year, so many things on that vision board that I had created for myself actually became real. My husband and I, we bought our first home, and there was a home on our vision board. There was, baby footprints, and we were pregnant with our first child. Mm. There was a group of friends toasting over dinner, and we cultivated relationships and friendships with people in our neighborhood and our community that year. And I truly credit creating this hokey vision board with helping me continuously make decisions in the direction of that vision becoming a reality. So I am a reformed vision board hater because I see their power. And this also goes to show that time management, once again, does not start on the pages of your planner. It starts with getting clear on your vision, because when you know what you want your life to look like, you're able to use your most finite resource, which is time, to create that vision for yourself. And that's when things like time blocking and task batching and theme days and all of the typical productivity tips that we hear about really come into play. That's when they really shine, is once you know what that vision is.
We've got about a minute and a half left in the segment. Could you, just for the benefit of our listeners who may not be familiar with a vision board, kind of walk through the steps of what it is and how to do it?
Sure. So to create a vision board, start by articulating what you want your life to look like. Maybe you want to cultivate a relationship. Maybe you want to have close friendships. You want to grow your business. Whatever it is, you want to be promoted in your role. Whatever it is. And then what are images that could be associated or represent each one of those goals that you have for yourself? And then find those images, whether it's online in creating a digital vision board, or you can go old school and cut pictures out of a magazine. Assemble it all in one place, somewhere that you can see it and reference it often.
Great. That's fantastic. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is: property management is easy, time management is hard. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a renowned speaker, author, and sought-after time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. And Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. So, Anne, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and we've touched on it in both of the previous segments, but the frontline multifamily teams that are out there on property, as well as regional managers and so forth, are they're fighting a lot of things that are causing them to struggle with time management, such as constant interruptions, having more than one boss, working where people live who have 24-hour needs. And then it kind of bleeds over into their personal life. Everybody has a personal life that they have to juggle mm-hmm. with, you know, things that they want to do, or if they're a mother or a father, their kids' needs. That can be kind of daunting to a lot of people, and sometimes to the point where they feel like they're drowning. Tell us a little bit about what you believe are some of the things that you see, and what can be done.
Sure. It's incredibly common across so many industries, but especially in the multifamily industry, that our work has this uncanny ability to bleed over into our personal lives. And it's actually because of a productivity pitfall that I actually talk about in my book called Parkinson's Law. And Parkinson's Law states that work expands to fill the time available. Mm-hmm. And if we don't place very specific, clear boundaries around our work, then it has the potential to completely seep into every other piece and part of our day. You know, during the pandemic, this was especially problematic because the lines between work and home became incredibly blurry. And so now many of us are rebuilding boundaries so that we're able to have a clearer definition between work time and home time. There's one amazing routine that I recommend that can help you become more present in your downtime. It's one of the five essential routines, and it's called the workday shutdown routine. Now, your workday shutdown routine, it's a short series of steps that help you transition from work brain to not work brain. It's things like reviewing your to-do list to see what's left on your list that needs to be pushed to tomorrow. It's assessing, you know, what does the rest of the week look like? It's sending final follow-up emails or touch base emails or final email responses before you close out the day. And essentially, it's creating a stopping point. You know, our brain prefers unfinished things. There's something, it's called the Zeigarnik effect, and it states that, you know, our brain prefers to focus on things and ruminate on things that are unfinished. Well, I think we can all agree that work never really ends. We never reach the end of our to-do list. It's more of a conveyor belt than it is a list that has an end, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have a workday shutdown routine and you have this physical series of steps that you take, it enables you to shift into a mindset. It almost tricks your brain into thinking that the loops are closed so that you're able to head into your downtime feeling more present. You know, it always reminds me of Mr. Rogers. Do you remember in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, he would mm-hmm. kick off every episode by coming inside from the neighborhood, and he would take off his outside jacket and he would put on his cardigan. He would take off his outside shoes and he would put on his inside shoes. He was doing a physical routine that created a mental mindset of, okay, now I'm home. And so we can do the same thing with a workday shutdown routine in order to be more present in our downtime.
You know, that's so interesting. One of the phenomena across all industries, as you said, is now there's a lot of people working remotely. How can they do that shutdown if they work from home and obviously live at home?
Definitely. Having that shutdown routine is even more critical if you work from home, because when you have a commute, that commute serves as a time for decompression. I was working with a husband and wife couple who owned a business together, and the husband was working full time as well for an engineering firm. And he got into the habit of every day when he ended his remote workday, he took a walk around the block. And that physical walk around the block served as his commute, so that he was able to use that time to decompress before he walked right back into his house into evening mode. So it's even more critical. I actually have another good friend that works remotely who has a work from home sweater. And she only wears this sweater while she's working from home. And so at the end of her workday, she takes it off, she drapes it across her chair, and her workday is complete.
That's a great, I mean, that's really our great points of things that people can do. You mentioned that this was one of the five essential routines. We've got about 4.5 minutes left in this segment. Can you share some of the other ones?
I'd be glad to. So the five essential routines, I believe, are a collection of routines that help us show up as our best selves. They support us throughout our day, throughout our week. And those routines are our morning routine, which of course brings us from asleep to starting our day. Our evening routine, which helps us prepare for a solid night's sleep. You know, the CDC recommends that adults get between 7 and 9 hours of sleep each night in order for us to stay healthy. And so that evening routine really helps us transition to a state of restful sleep. Then there's our workday startup routine. You've already heard about the shutdown, but right. The workday startup routine is the routine that you engage at the very beginning of your day to transition from work mode, from home mode to work mode. You know, I have two toddlers. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and other parents of young children know that sometimes we fight our hardest battles before we even begin the workday. And so having a workday startup routine really enables you to transition into focus mode for the workday. Then we've got our workday shutdown routine, which I've already told you about. And then that fifth routine is our weekly planning session, which we also already touched on. That helps us start our week feeling calm, prepared, and ready for anything.
Can you tell us some tips on getting the workday started? What do you recommend for that?
Definitely. So just like a great morning starts the night before, a great workday starts with the way that you shut down at the end of the day. And so when you begin your workday startup routine, it can be something as simple as opening your laptop, opening your email, turning your notebook to a fresh page, and making sure that your water or your coffee is refilled. I mean, those are short, simple steps, but when you perform them in the same order, you're forming connections in your brain that signal it's time to get down to business. It's time to focus.
Yeah, and I think that's important whether you work from home or whether you work on site is to get that done. And so many times I would think that people are walking into, for instance, a property management office, the manager or assistant manager, as soon as they walk through the door, they're accosted by people with issues and problems that need to be resolved. How can they combat that? What can they do about that?
I know, especially when you start your day with distraction, it really can set the tone for your entire day. So I would encourage you, if that's your situation, to think about what you can control. Most of the time, no one is going to accost you while you're still sitting in your car. So is there a short routine that you can do in your car that can help you get your mind right and prepare yourself to step out and walk into the office knowing that there's a possibility that people will be waiting for you. And so instead of hurrying in flustered, you've already, you know, taken three deep breaths and listened to your favorite song while you were in the car, whatever that looks like for you. You've done that mental preparation, because that's what it's all about. It's getting into that mindset of feeling prepared and ready.
And when they shut down the day before, and they've got their, are you suggesting they have a plan of where they're going to start the next day, like that bookmark you mentioned before?
Yes, yes. Having that weekly shutdown helps you prepare for your morning so that you're able to more quickly move into the projects of the day without jumping right in. You've got your plan. You know what you've got to tackle in the day ahead. You know that curveballs are also going to happen, but having that weekly shutdown in place means that you already have that inkling, that preparation, and you're just going to be just that much more ready to handle whatever comes your way.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is important to the multifamily industry. It's property management is easy, time management is hard. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a renowned speaker, author, and sought-after time management coach, Anna Dierman-Cornick. I do want to take a quick moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible: Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management, DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents, Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Andrew, we talked a lot about some of the things that multifamily, the obstacles, the hurdles that multifamily industry folks come across that kind of mess with their time management and cause them to feel burnout and overwhelmed. And you've shared some tips and so forth, but let's talk about other tips, where ways they can be more productive, apps and any hacks that you have. I saw on your website some of the things that you prefer, but what do you think would apply to folks in this industry?
Sure. Well, something that can apply to just about anyone is dealing with feelings of overwhelm. So it's certainly not an app or even a tool that I'd love to share with you, but something that you can create for yourself whenever you feel like the feelings of overwhelm are bubbling up. Because let's be honest, we're just not going to be our most productive when we feel stressed out, when we feel that overwhelm. And so I encourage everyone, my clients, everyone, to create a reset ritual for themselves. It's for those moments when you feel like you're about to blow your top, when you just want to scream, but you can't. Mm-hmm. And so finding something, whether it's listening to a song that you love. My favorite reset ritual song is actually from the Broadway musical Hamilton, the song Wait For It. That song always helps me just kind of put things into perspective and calm down a little bit, and also get kind of pumped up at the same time. So for some people, I was actually talking with a physical therapist whose day is very often thrown off when her colleagues don't stay on track, which it then impacts her meeting schedule. She chooses to close herself in a supply closet and take some deep breaths in the dark. Mm. Really, whatever it is, I encourage you, if you are in a high stress, high distraction environment, to choose your own personal reset ritual so that you have something to fall back on whenever you feel yourself about to blow your top, so you can kind of calm down and keep rolling. The next thing that I would love to tell you about is what I call a shiny things list. I think that we have all been guilty of getting distracted and, you know, chasing the shiny things when we should be focused on something else. And so creating a shiny things list can become one of your new favorite productivity tools. And it's pretty simple. You just grab a notepad, a fresh page in your notebook, and you decide, okay, what is the period of time that I will be working for? Let's say, you know, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And you write down 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. You're setting your start time and your end time, which enables you to combat Parkinson's law. Remember, work expands to fill the time allotted. So we're going to give ourselves some fences to work within. So you've got your start time and your end time. Then you're going to write down what you plan to accomplish during that time frame. And we're going to write down three things. What's that first thing that you are going to do during that time frame? And if you finish that, where do you move on to next? If you finish that, where do you move on to next? And the reason why we choose three things instead of just one is that, what if you finish? If you finish that first thing early and you don't know what you're going to work on next, you can lose 20 minutes just trying to decide what you'll do next. And then the next thing you know, you're in your email and you're scrolling Facebook. So do yourself a favor and decide in advance, what three things will you work on during that time frame? Then we're going to draw a line below that. We're going to create separation, and we're going to write the words shiny things because we're going to call it what it is, shiny things, distractions, things that pop up. And then we get to work. You start focusing on that first thing on your list. And every time something pops into your head, whether it's, oh, I need to make a dinner reservation, instead of stopping what you're doing and making the dinner reservation in that moment, write it down on your shiny things list. You remember that you're out of copy paper. Instead of stopping what you're doing and ordering the copy paper, write it down on your shiny things list and get back to work. What this does is it creates a place, a parking lot for you to store all of those shiny things so that you can reset your focus on the task at hand. And then once that time block is up, take a look at what's on your list. And now that you've got this, you know, list of shiny things, you get to decide, is this something that I need to do right now? Is this something that I can defer until later, schedule a time for it? Can I delegate any of this to someone else? Or can I delete this altogether? Because even though it might have seemed important in the moment, now that I really think about it, I don't need to do this at all. So that's the shiny things list. Mm,
that's great. And before we, I want to transition in a second to a different topic, but I wanted to ask you, is there any other, I know you mentioned the different productivity planners and the apps. Is there anything that you feel is worthwhile out there for people to look at if they're doing these other steps?
Definitely. I always say that the best productivity or time management tool is the tool that you'll use consistently. And sometimes it can take a bit to discover what you will use consistently. I'm a huge fan of using a program called Trello, a software called Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O, for organizing information to keep things at my fingertips. I use a software called Asana, A-S-A-N-A, for task management to keep all of the to-dos out of my head, off of paper, and stored somewhere else, almost like a second brain. And if you use Gmail for work, there's an amazing tool called Clockwise that can help you rearrange your meetings in order to create more open spaces so that you can get in that focus time to actually put your head down and get work done. Because a fragmented workday, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, that's not enough time to sink your teeth into any desk work. It can take around 23 to 30 minutes just to get into a state of focus. And when we're constantly popping in and out of meetings, we're not able to get there. So then we take our work home, right? And we stay up late and do it. But Clockwise can help you rearrange your schedule so that you can create that open time to focus on getting that desk work done.
Fantastic. Well, I do want to transition. I mean, we could talk about this for a lot longer and love to have you back on the show at a future episode. But I wanted to let you kind of tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background. I found it fascinating. There's a timeline on your website that you put together showing, you know, where you were and how you got to where you are. And then also talk a little bit about your book, what you're working on, and how someone could reach out to you if they needed to.
Sure. So it's important for me to make sure that all of you know that I was not born a magical time management unicorn. Mm-hmm. I have not been a time management wizard from day one. I actually used to be the late friend among my friend group, and I was even written up by my supervisor while I was working at a PR firm for being late 17 times in a quarter. So all of that to say, if I can turn it around after being the perpetually late person, you are not a hopeless case. I want you to know that.
All right.
I actually started my career as a scheduler to a United States congressman. Right out of college, I moved to D.C. to work for the congressman from New Orleans, and it was my job to manage his schedule from the minute he woke up until he ended his days. Every single minute was accounted for. My first week on the job, I forgot to schedule bathroom breaks for him, and that did not go well, but it was a very important lesson that I had to learn about the realities of time management. We need time for breaks just as much as we need time for meetings. And, you know, as much as I loved the hustle and bustle and the excitement of working on Capitol Hill in the seat of U.S. government, I'm from Louisiana, and I really started to miss home. If you're from the South, then you probably know a thing or two about boiled crawfish.
Sure.
And I had to spend an entire crawfish season in D.C., and it was devastating for me. So I moved back to Louisiana, where I kicked off a 10-year career in the 24/7 world of crisis communications and government affairs, where literally every day was a fire, a disaster, a crisis, some type of chaos that had to be managed. And I had so many different types of experiences and clients, everything from oil spills and hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and droughts and floods. I actually worked for the Louisiana Housing Corporation for a period of time where we had to navigate media inquiries into infestations in multifamily properties. So I've been in that world as well. And as much as I loved my work and I was great at it, creating order out of chaos, it really started to take a toll on me. I looked around, my boundaries were gone. My health was not in a good place. My relationships were crumbling. And so I walked away from what a lot of people would consider a very, you know, cool sounding career in order to find a better way. And so after a lot of trial and error, discovering coaching, really finding that my passion lies in helping others either dig themselves out of burnout or completely avoid it altogether by discovering their purpose and living their life intentionally. Now I'm a time management coach, and every single day I get to help people live the life of their dreams through intentional time management.
How can someone reach out to you if they want to?
I would love for you to tune in to my podcast, It's About Time. I have new episodes that drop every single Monday wherever you listen to podcasts, and that's the best way to find me.
All right, and then also tell us a little bit, we've got about 20 seconds left in the segment, about your book, and how can someone get a hold of that if they need to?
Yes, Time Management Essentials, the tools you need to maximize your energy, attention, and productivity. Just head straight to timemanagementessentials.com. There are links to learn more about the book and to pick up around $500 worth of bonus guides and instructional materials to help you implement everything that you read inside the book.
And just for the sake of our listeners, if you go to this episode page on our website at multifamilyradio.com, you'll see Anna's logo, and there'll be if you click on that, it'll take you directly to her website. So, Anna, thank you so much for being on today. It was a pleasure. Like I said, I'd love to have you back in the future. But we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.